Great word, amen. Peace in the glory. Hallelujah. Peace in the glory, man. God's presence, in God's presence, there is peace. That's where peace is. It's in his presence. Well, welcome to First Open Bible. Welcome to the third week of Advent. We're getting closer to Christmas. If you like it or not, it's cold outside. But no white demon, hallelujah. If you don't know who that is the snow. I call it the white demon. Oh, amen, amen, amen. So the definition of joy, defined by Webster is this. There's three definitions. Number one is this: the emotion invoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Joy. Another definition of joy defined by Webster is this. Number two, a state of happiness or felicity, bliss. And here's the third one, and it's my favorite. Third definition of joy defined by Webster is this: a source or a cause of delight. A source of delight. Hallelujah. And somebody said, little Debbie's. I'm just joking. I just got hungry. Okay. Proverbs 17:22 says this: a cheerful heart is a good medicine. All right, look at your neighbor, no matter how far apart they may be from you, and just give them a smile. Hope y'all brush your teeth. Just give them a smile. Smile. Look to your neighbor and give them a smile. See, a cheerful heart is a good medicine. So it's all right to laugh at church. It's all right to laugh with your friends. It's all right as long as you're laughing at the right things. Amen. But it's all right to laugh. Joy is okay. Delight is good. A cheerful heart is a good medicine. Man, you ever been in a situation in your life where it was just a mess, right? Like everything around me is crazy. And then all of a sudden, this big old thing just drops and it's even worse. And you just stand there and you're like, ha, 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 ha. Why? You just start laughing because you got nothing else. You ever been there? Can I get an amen? Amen. You ever been there before? See, sometimes you just got to laugh about it because what else are you going to do? I cried enough. I think I might try laughing this time. Lord, I need some cheer. I need some delight. I need your joy. I need some happiness in the midst of what I'm facing right now. So what brings you joy? Church, what brings you joy? No matter what your day is like, you think of this one thing, or you see it, or you experience it, and it just makes you full of delight, right? Is it shopping? Is it worship songs? Is it reading a good book? Is it sitting down reading the Word? Is it chocolate? All the ladies are like, hey! Right? Nobody said nothing until I said chocolate. It's like, ah, you can't eat it here in the sanctuary, by the way. You can have water, no food or drink in here, please. Hallelujah. Chocolate. Is it the ocean? Baby giggles. That's good. Amen. Is it time with your family? What is it? What brings you joy? Can I tell you one of mine real quick? Y'all won't judge me. Take off your robes, man. Y'all are not going to judge me, right? Jeez. I thought this was church. Leave the judging to God. Come on now. Okay. Let me tell you one of mine. It causes great delight in my life. So every day I take the kids, every school day I take the kids to school. And as I'm driving, there's this guy, and he's always walking three dogs. Now, my entire life, now, my sister can't answer this because she already knows. I have a favorite kind of dog. It always brings me delight. Do you know what it is? A pug. It is a pug, right? Okay, so don't, remember, you can't judge me. So get this. So, I mean, I can have the worst day in the entire world. It can be so terrible. And then I'm reminded, this guy always walks his pug. It's a little girl pug, and she has a little sweater on. But they're so funny because they have this flat face, and they snort all the time, and they're always so silly. They're short and stubby, and they're just so silly. They look so ridiculous. And every single time, no matter what I'm facing in my life, I'm serious. Anybody who knows me personally knows this. No matter what I'm facing, you bring me a pug, I'm good. I'm good. Everything falls to the wayside and I'm just laughing at that thing. And I'm just hugging it and loving on it. So So don't judge me, but that's something in my life. I just thought of that this week when I was driving the kids and I saw that little pug with the little sweater on and he's just, you know, just going along in the cold. And you don't even really know where he's looking too. He's like, all right? You're like, oh, hey, I'm over here, right? They're just so funny. See y'all laughing. You know what I mean? You like pugs too. Amen. Amen. See, a cheerful heart is a good medicine. What brings you joy? No matter what you're facing in your life, all of a sudden that one thing or that one experience or that something that you do, what brings you joy? I'm pretend I didn't hear that. She said cats. I'm a dog person, okay. That's okay, we all have different things. And we all need prayer, hallelujah. You know, I'm just playing, you can love your kitties. You can have them, amen. So if you've been here for the last few weeks, or maybe you've watched online, or you've joined us, however you joined us, you know these past few weeks we've been celebrating Advent, okay? The word Advent means this, it means coming. It means arrival. It's the season, and it's traditionally a time of expectation, waiting, anticipation, and longing. Advent is a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent offers us an opportunity to share the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert and ready for his second coming. It's a hot mess out there. He's coming soon. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus' coming, while at the same time looking forward with eager anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom and when he returns for his church. Don't let your lampstand run out of oil this morning. There are churches being divided all over the place right now. It said, Jesus prophesied that half the churches would fall at the wayside because they weren't prepared. Do not look like the world, be there for the world. Okay, look like Christ for the world. Advent is a season that we don't pretend to just be happy or cover up the pain or cover up the hardships that we've all experienced in 2020. Advent is a season that we dig deep into the reality of what it means that God sent his son, Jesus, into the world to be Emmanuel, God with us. See, this amazing story of God's redemptive love is for all of us. It's for the entire world. So we are rediscovering together the season of expectation. We are remembering together. He is bigger than anything we are facing right now. See, it might feel like that right now, but let me tell you the truth. My job as the preacher today is to bring the good news. He is bigger than anything we are facing right now. I got great news. He always will be, and he always has been. 2020 has given us a gift. Y'all need to wash your mind with the word, because I know the gift you're thinking is not a good one. Okay, I'm bringing the good news. It's the gift of rediscovering Christmas's hope. We are rediscovering Christmas's peace. We are rediscovering Christmas's joy, and we are rediscovering Christmas's love. Amen? Amen. If you brought your word today, please turn it to Luke chapter 1. If you open up in the New Testament, it's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's the third of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. So go to Luke. If you're in here, there is one behind you. If you're in the front row, a Bible, or there's one in front of you if wherever you're at. And if you're on the sides, you can grab one in the front there. It's underneath if you'd like to grab one of those. Please open your word to Luke chapter 1. I've titled today's message this, Joy for Our Discouragement. Amen? See, God is our source. And God is with us, church. And because of that, we can experience joy no matter what discouragement we may be going through right now. Now, if it was hard getting to church this morning, it's going to be awesome today for you. The enemy does not want you to hear this word. He does not want you to know this truth. He does not want you to be full of love and joy and peace and happiness today. He does not want that. 2020 don't want that. 2020. See, there's a lot of joy throughout the biblical story of Christmas. But it's important to note this, that this joy isn't separate from the pain and the disappointments. In fact, much of this joy is born out of a long disappointment, and much of this joy is born out of long times of grief. Let's read God's word together this morning and explore the stories and the experiences of Elizabeth and Mary. See, Luke's Christmas story begins a little bit earlier than Mary, Joseph, and Jesus in the manger. It starts with a priest named Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth. All right, if you're in Luke chapter 1, turn to verse 5. We're going to read verses 5, 6, and 7 together right now. In the NLT, it says this: when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and his regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. See, these three short verses that I just read have spoken volumes of information to people, original people that Luke wrote to 2,000 years ago. It meant a lot of what he just said. Here's what we have. We have a king, Herod, and he's keeping the Jews under harsh Roman control. And they were not kind people. And they owned most of the world. And we also meet Zechariah and Elizabeth, who are both of a priestly lineage. See, in the day with a lot of religious corruption and power plays by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were cut from a much different cloth than those other guys. They're described as righteous and blameless and faithful. This is especially important in light of what Luke tells us next. He says this: Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're very old, and they've never been able to have children. See, that changes suddenly and miraculously when an archangel Gabriel shows up in the scene and tells Zechariah and his wife, he says, your wife is going to have a son, not just a son, a powerful prophetic son who's going to prepare the way for the Lord. He's going to prepare for the soon and coming Messiah. He's going to be the great last Old Testament prophet. Amen? See, at this moment, Zechariah is so overwhelmed he can hardly believe the news. And when he questions the news, the angel says, okay, now you're not going to talk until your baby is born. He's like, right? Out there, I know we've had some sound issues. That was planned. I was not muted. Hallelujah. You see, it all changes when God's messenger comes. See, at this moment, Zechariah, he's so overwhelmed, he can't even believe it. Now he is mute until his child is born. Now the priest is left with writing and signing to everyone what has happened, right? That must have been difficult. I don't think sign language was quite invented yet. His wife Elizabeth is quicker to believe the news, and when she becomes pregnant, she says this. If you turn to verse 25 in Luke chapter 1, this is what she says. Go down to 25. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. How kind the Lord is. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. Amen. Okay, let's back up. Let's go back one verse real quick. See, the previous verse tells us something very strange but very interesting. Elizabeth went into seclusion for the first 5 months of her pregnancy. Let's read it. So Luke chapter 1, go back one verse. Verse 24 says this. Soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. Now, why does she do that? Maybe her doing that had something to do with her disgrace that she mentioned about, that we mentioned earlier for her. See, the inability of her not being able to have children. This would have been a lifelong source of pain, shame, and discouragement. Having children back in those times was a really, really big deal. That culture, if you didn't have children, that's a big deal. The great hopes of a young Jewish woman early in her marriage would have questioned herself. And other women probably would have questioned her as well. You know, people can be mean. They can be mean. They probably questioned her unfairly, cast suspicion, and unfolded blame upon her. Elizabeth's self-worth probably would have sunk and sunk lower and lower as the years passed by and her hope of a child dimmed. At some point, she and everyone around her probably declared Elizabeth barren and branded her with a lifelong stigma. Maybe that's why she stayed in seclusion for 5 months. She said, okay, I'm going to have a baby. An angel said it. I'm very old. I've never had a kid. And my own husband can't even tell me how happy he is because he can't even talk to me. Right? This is a little joke. But remember he's mute? Okay. But I think I'm just going to go into seclusion for 5 months. She wanted to keep the news all to herself, praying and holding on to the hope that maybe just this time, joy would be the outcome instead of more discouragement. I mean, it doesn't say in God's word, but possibly she could have had miscarriages. We don't know. Then the story goes on to another scene. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, Gabriel makes another earthly appearance. This time, the archangel speaks to Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is the most miraculous pregnancy announcement of them all. Amen? Mary received the news gracefully and willingly, but her pregnancy also came with its own challenges, shame, and discouragement. Soon, it's going to be pretty obvious. Mary's pregnant, and Mary is not married. How do you tell people, no, my baby is from God? No, seriously. No, this is God's son. I know I'm not married. No, this is God's son. See, even Joseph, her fiance, he couldn't believe the news at first either. In the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, these are the accounts. Matthew tells us Joseph planned to break their engagement. See, back then, if you break an engagement, that's like getting a divorce, and it's a big disgrace. If you don't hold your promises back then, something's wrong with you, and people won't trust you. Mary's journey would not have been an easy one. Let's read a little bit about it, okay? Luke chapter 1, let's go to verse 38, and let's read through 40. Verse 38, so down a few. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to a town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. See, Mary might have thought this. If anybody's going to understand what I'm going through, it's got to be my relative Elizabeth. Because there's a lot of stuff going on and people just don't understand. See, this is where joy erupts in the story. With all that is going on in these ladies' lives, the discouragement, the disgrace, the grief, the shame, joy bursts through right there. Go to the next verse in Luke chapter 1, verse 41 through 45. We're going to read this. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take a moment right here. Did you notice the Bible doesn't call it a fetus? Did you notice, the baby is full of the Holy Spirit. The baby has a destiny. Okay, just a side note, just for fun. Because the word tells us how it is. Luke chapter 1, verses 41 through 45. We're going to keep going on. So at the very greeting of Mary, Elizabeth's child, right? The great prophet, the one that's going to come and prepare the way of the Lord, already meets the Son of God in the womb. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." You are blessed, church, because you believed what the Lord said he would do. What a relief this must have been for Mary. She didn't have to explain herself. She didn't have to worry anymore about being misunderstood. All she had to do was say hello, and Elizabeth knew. This was just the affirmation and the encouragement Mary needed. Her joy came bursting through as well as Mary sang and praised and thanked God. We're going to keep reading Luke 1, 46 through 55. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things." Amen. Man, if something resonates with your spirit, y'all can just say amen. "He has shattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble." Right? Dude, this is all just in a greeting. Verse 53. "He has filled the hunger with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Come on now, what a beautiful section of scripture. When you receive some good news in the midst of all, what is already bubbling up in you? See, at the very moment of that greeting, there's a celebration. The Holy Spirit fills the room, and then boom, they just bust out in their mouth, just praises to God, and it's incredible. Mary, that just was flowing out of what was already in. See, think of this. Two expectant mothers sharing a deep understanding and affirmation of an incredible flow of joy in the midst of their discouragement, an incredible flow of joy in the midst of their uncertainty. Incredible. See, they knew this. They knew no matter what happened before, and no matter what is going to happen or to come, God will provide joy. Because joy is not the absence of discouragements. It is finding the source in the midst of them. Here's what God has shown me through this, through these Christmas verses in Luke for us today, church. As I read this story, this is what I believe God is giving us this morning, and I want to talk to all of y'all about this right now, is this. Look at me. It's okay to be joyful. It's okay to be happy right now. For some of you, this is a no-brainer. Duh, Pastor, of course. I can be happy. Yeah. But for others, this concept in 2020, it makes you uncomfortable and it makes you uneasy. It might even make you feel a little bit guilty. I know there's a stigma as a pastor oftentimes if people are hurting and hurting and broken and broken. Yes, you jump in and you have compassion and you have love for them, but oftentimes you don't feel like you can be happy outside of anything else. So I get that. I need to hear that because sometimes I feel guilty about seeing a funny little pug and laughing in the midst of it, right? While everybody around me might be crying, I'm like, I'm just like, hey, look at this little guy, right? But it's okay to be joyful. It's okay to be happy right now in 2020. See, you either say this is a no-brainer or this is really hard to swallow today, Pastor. See, a lot of that depends on where you fall on this spectrum. Depends on your personal past. It depends on the current people around you influencing you. And it depends also on your spiritual history. Randy Alcorn, he's a theologian. He wrote a book called Happiness. Theologian wrote a book called Happiness. A theologian, right? Praise God, wrote a book about happiness. Thank you. Wow. The entire book makes one single point. And it's for all of us to hear this morning. It's this main point is this. It's okay to want to be happy. It's okay to want to be joyful. It's okay to enjoy those emotions. The entire book. Y'all don't have to read it now. You're welcome. There is great joy in the Advent Christmas season, if you like the music or not. And it's good to embrace and celebrate that joy. Yes, even in discouragement, even if discouragement surrounds you. Many people in this season, they find themselves driven by obligation, driven by busyness, and driven by guilt, right? Anybody feel some of that weightiness? Amen? Feel a little guilty, feel a little busy, feel a little obligation in your life, feel a little overwhelmed? God wants to remind you this morning, it is okay to stop and say no and pause and embrace something that brings you personal delight. As long as it's not sin, brings you personal delight. Just stop for a moment. Enjoy this personal happiness, this joy, and then be reminded of the source of that joy. And those of you who find themselves this Christmas being a painful and difficult one, for those of you who are hurting and grieving personally or feeling discouraged by this devastating year we have all been walking through, it's okay to feel and embrace joy. Why? Look at me again. Because you need it. Because you need joy. Here's my point. Our longing for happiness and joy is a physical and a spiritual desire. A desire that God placed within us. It's not sinful to laugh and have a good time. It's part of the reflection of God's own joyful nature. I mean, why else did he invent platypuses, right? Sloths and pugs. Come on. Because he's a good God, that's why. Because he can. He's like, hey, Jesus, watch this. I'm going to put a duck and a beaver and a... Look at that. They'll have no explanation. Eat that, Darwin. I mean, what? That didn't evolve at all. That went like backwards, like 10 steps. I don't even know. Okay, I'm getting off track. See, God has joy too. Seek God, yes, for his holiness. Amen. Seek God, yes, for his love. Seek God, yes, for his mercy and his grace. But don't forget to seek God for his joy as well. He is our source of delight. And oftentimes his joy is our only strength. And this is 2020. His joy may be the only strength that we got. Joy is our strength. There's a great example of this in the story of Nehemiah. Who is Nehemiah? He was an Old Testament leader who got permission from the king to return from exile in Babylon and return to Jerusalem and start to build the walls. Remember that story? The process was more than just a return to the physical city. It was a spiritual reawakening for the people. I'll say that again, okay? Two of y'all got woke up. Maybe I've been yelling too much and you didn't get it. I'll say it quiet, then I'll yell, and then you'll know that's the emphasis that I'm going for, okay? The process was for more than just the return to the physical city. It was a spiritual reawakening for God's people. Am I hitting home today? In chapter 8, in the book of Nehemiah, he brings all the people together and they bring out the law of Moses. They bring out the Torah. They bring it out and they read it. Okay? Nehemiah is calling the people to remember and return to the relationship with God. He's bringing them back to the source of their joy. And he does this, right? Probably he's not reading Numbers because they're like, what? Whose daddy was that? Granddad? What? But he starts reading the word and he starts reading the law and the book that was given to them. And the people start weeping. Wow, right? It's good. It's good timing. They just start weeping. I didn't have that planned. It's not a plant. I'm just joking. There you go. And he does this, and the people start weeping. I was behind. I'm sorry. I didn't get that. See, these tears, some of them were of joy from them remembering God's words from the past. I remember when God got me through that. I remember when God said that, and my ancestors, and my dad, and my granddaddy, and all these people, I remember when they got me through. I remember that. Although I might have been over here in exile, I might have been feeling lost, I might have been part of this remnant or whatever, but God is bringing me back, and oh God, and just crying, Lord, you are good. You're so good. I rejoice. But most of them, they were weeping from sadness as they recognized their guilt. And they recognize they're drifting away from God. This won't condemn you, but it could convict you. And when it convicts you, it sets you free. And when you're free, their joy comes unspeakable. So here's the beauty in the midst of it all. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says this. And Nehemiah continued, go, church, go and celebrate with the feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. What does that say? Don't just go out and eat for yourself. Church, we don't need a church full of fat sheep. Y'all eat what you need and pass it along. I'm preaching now. See, it says this, go and celebrate with the feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share the gift of the food with people who have nothing prepared. There's a whole bunch of people that got nothing prepared. They got nothing to eat. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected. What's the word dejected? I looked it up. Another word is this, depressed. There's people in here today that depression's gonna fall off today. I believe it in the name of Jesus. You don't need medicine. God wants to set you free from that. See, the joy of the Lord is going to be something that's going to set you free from that, and you're not going to need the medicine anymore. See, it says, don't be dejected, don't be depressed and sad. Eat that, 2020. Don't be depressed and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Man, what does strength do? What does strength do? It separates you from the weak. That's what it does. God gave me that this morning while I was sitting and praying before I came in here today. What does strength do? It separates you from the weak. See, and don't get haughty. Y'all weak. I'm weak. That's why the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not the joy of myself or the pug, right? The joy of the pug does not make me strong. It might make me snore. Hallelujah. Okay, now I'm getting weird. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So Nehemiah says this, go, celebrate, enjoy it. Why? Why does Nehemiah say that? Because this is a time for joy. Because God is bringing us back. He is restoring our land. He is restoring our hearts. Because of this, our source of strength is the very joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the joy of the Lord, it's a deep well. It's a deep well. A well that we can draw upon. No matter what we're facing. 2020, man, I know it's been hard. Trust me, I've had a very hard year in the natural. But let me tell you, if you get through this in the supernatural, you're going to be better than you ever been. Okay, do not be dejected and sad. Do not. Now, I'm not suggesting that we put on a plastic smile and fake joy. Nobody, the church and the world does not need any more fake Christians. I'm blessed. Man, you just told 10 people how bad your life was. You come into church and I'm blessed. Be real. Don't put on a fake smile or a facade. God sees right through that. And if you have the discerning of spirits, you know too. Come on now. I know you're going through something. You might say you're blessed, but I know something's up and God gave me this word for you. And then you can be set free from all that. Man, may that just go through all churches all over the world. The reality. See, you don't have to walk around with your head down, but you have to be real about what's going on. And then you lead everybody the same way that you're getting through it. You lead them back to the source, right? Man, you know what? My week has been awful. King David did it over and over and over and over again. Some of the best things that we love to read in the book of Psalms. He talked about how awful his enemies are around him. And things are falling apart. Nobody likes him and everybody's after him, wants to kill him. And the derecho came and not really. But there's a lot of stuff that happens, right? And then, but he always brings it back to God. Brings it back to the source. Although all the enemies surround me, God, you are my deliverer. I hide in the cleft. I am here. I can get through these things. God, you are my strength. And you know what? I will praise you in the midst of it all. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not suggesting we put on a plastic smile and fake joy. I am just reminding you, church, this morning, whatever you find yourself facing today, whatever, church, say whatever. Whatever you find yourself facing today, be encouraged that the joy of the Lord can be felt no matter what discouragement is in your life. It can. Church, choose joy. There's a lot of uses for this word called rejoice in the Bible. Will you say rejoice? Wow, say it like this is a Pentecostal church. Ready? Say rejoice. Rejoice. Come on now. Rejoice. Get me preaching. Huh? You get me dancing too if you do it. Do it good enough. Right? Isn't that, woo! Can you say rejoice? Rejoice. Rejoice. Come on now. I'm going to break off in here. See, this is a word that we don't use very often in our culture, but maybe we should. Rejoice is the verb form of joy. Come on, English majors. What is a verb? It is a action word. Good, because I am awful at English. Amen. No, I knew that, but I just looked it up to verify. For your good. Rejoice is the verb form of joy. It is the action of feeling or expressing joy. It is the action or the feeling of expressing delight. Rejoice! You sang that song? I'm not going to sing it because I want you guys to come back next week. The word rejoice begins with the prefix re. I told you I did some studying. Remember, in the English, if a word starts with re, that prefix means three things. It means this. Re means once more. Re also means again, and this is my favorite. Re means a return to. Come on now. Church, rejoice. Return to God. Return to joy, for it is your strength. But it's a choice. It's a choice. I know sometimes we get locked into our pews, right? It's like we got this religious chain stuck. Sometimes we walk into church and all of a sudden we get shackled. Oh, now I'm preaching to something. We're getting shackled. God is going to set you free today to rejoice the King of Kings. Worship team, can you come up, please? Church, rejoice. Return to God. Return to joy, for it is your strength. But you must choose it. It's an action we can take. We can return to joy. To do that, you must return to the source of joy. You must return to Jesus. You must return to Jesus. Church, you know why you're having a hard time right now? You must return to Jesus. Are you still going to have to walk through it? Probably. But you must what? Return to, say it.
Jesus.
Turn to Jesus. Whether you're buried in discouragement or everything is going on around you in a great way, there's nobody that can conjure up an unending supply of happiness all the time. See, no matter how optimistic or positive your natural disposition is, like that guy right there, right? You knew it was you. He's even laughing. He's the most positive guy. He's like, I remember this one time we had a hole in our roof, right? And the rain's just coming in. And my wife, I was out on a missions trip, and my wife said, he came over and he's like, look at that hole. That is one of the biggest holes I've ever seen. Look how incredible that hole is. I mean, just, look at all that rain. It's just coming in. It's pouring in. That's incredible. Come in here. Look at this. This is incredible. Take a picture. We need a video. Send it out. Hallelujah. Look at this. It's pouring in. I'm like, my wife's like, fix it. Jeez. Captain Optimistic. Hey, I gave him a nickname. Awesome. I love it. Feel free to use that if you want, unless he gets mad at me. Then I'll ask you to stop. See, no matter how optimistic or positive your natural disposition may be, sooner or later, we're all going to have one of those days. We're all going to have one of those weeks. We're all going to have one of those months. We're all going to have a 2020. But that's where God's re comes in. That's where we must return regularly, daily, and continually to Jesus, the source of our joy. See, when we understand this, these next verses I'm going to read as we get close to the sermon being over, these verses I'm going to read in James, these are going to breathe life into your 2020. God's word is alive. And these verses I'm about to read right now, I pray that through what God is saying, it's going to breathe life into your 2020. In James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4 says this, dear brothers and sisters, dear church, dear First Open Bible, dear people out there right now listening, dear people in the overflow, anybody can hear my voice, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an, what is the word? Opportunity for great joy. Ooh. For you know that when your faith is tested, can I get an amen?
Amen?
Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, James isn't necessarily saying we have to be happy about our trials and our problems. Remember, God did create the Garden of Eden, and that did not exist. That was the original plan. right? Y'all had unicorns and T-Rexes, and we're walking around, and we're having a great time, and everybody's a great gardener. It's crazy, it's sun, it's 75 every day, right? I don't know. I made part of that up. But it was perfect, part of that. Look it up in your word. It's in Genesis, okay? Find out what the garden was like. But God did not originally want us to have trials and problems. We did that. What is James saying? He is saying this. We have the opportunity to find joy in the midst of our problems and our trials. We have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to see the bigger picture beyond our discouragement. Because God truly works our good out in every situation. He does. Rejoice. And rejoicing is our process of refueling. Rejoicing is restoring our strength. Rejoicing is renewing our spirit. Rejoicing is reconnecting with our Savior. Will you please stand? Church, let's rediscover Christmas this year by embracing joy. No matter what discouragement you are going through right now, embrace joy. Let's be full of delight as we return to our constant source of joy, as we return to Jesus. Nehemiah 8:10. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected. Do not be depressed. Do not be sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoice, church, for the joy of the Lord is our strength.